Thank you, Larry, for leading us in all of those wonderful songs. Aren't we blessed to be here this morning? I mean, Larry and the Spring Meadows Church of Christ makes it so easy to worship God as we so desire in keeping with His Word. I'm blessed to be here. Diane feels the same way, and I hope that you do too. And if you're our guest today, thank you for coming. And I hope that your presence here will allow you to leave saying, I am a better person because I was part of that worship service. Now, I want to take exception to something that Tom said a few minutes ago. I wish that Dale were here this morning because he blesses my life every time I hear him preach. I brag on Dale everywhere I go, and I tell folks, you know, his lessons are just so helpful and so practical, and he gets us in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't find that everywhere you go to worship. We are blessed to have Dale a little bit longer as our minister, and I've let him know I didn't like his decision to leave, but I understand why. So now, as we begin this morning, I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to let you verbalize the answer. You have to know, because we just sang it. What can wash away my sins? You don't mean that, or you'd have said it better. What can wash away my sins? Now, what can make me whole again? Do we really, really, really believe that? Because we just said nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make me whole again. We're saying nothing can grant me salvation other than the blood of Jesus. Do you and I really, really mean that? Here's my experience. Over 50 years of preaching and almost 70 years of life. We believe that the church is important for our salvation to the extent that some of us equate the church as the source of salvation. No, we don't say it. No, we don't preach it. But that's how we live and what we emphasize. Now, I know that the church is very important when it comes to salvation because Jesus is the Savior of the body. I find in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. And the body is identified for me in the same book, Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, where Jesus is head over all things to the church, which is His body. Watch it. He's the Savior of the body. The body is the church. He's the Savior of the church. If you want to go to heaven, you must belong to the people that belong to Jesus Christ. You must belong to the church. So I know the church is important when it comes to my salvation. But does it save me? Here's my experience. A great deal of emphasis has been placed on baptism. And I know that baptism is very important in the scheme of God. In point of fact, I know that baptism is involved in my being saved and having the hope of going to heaven. Because 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, baptism does now save us. But can you say, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but baptism. What can make me whole again? Nothing but baptism. Here's my experience. I've heard a great deal of emphasis placed on the Bible and its place in our being saved with and before God. And I remember verses like James chapter 1, which says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So I know that the Bible is involved in granting me salvation, but can we sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the Bible, nothing but baptism, nothing but the church. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the Bible, nothing but baptism, nothing but the church. Which of the three? None. Because when you take away the blood of Jesus, the church becomes a social club with a spiritual emphasis. When you take away the blood of Jesus, baptism becomes an inconsequential gesture. And when you take away the blood of Jesus, the Bible becomes a book written by man and not God. What I want us to see this morning is how truly blessed we are by the blood of Jesus Christ. Here will be the course of our action. We will take the time to very, very briefly focus on 9 verses of the New Testament, each of which teaches us something we enjoy because of the blood of Jesus. And then, having looked at those 9 passages and those 9 blessings that flow into our lives, we will close by seeing why we believe that these are the 2 most important verses of all Scripture. There are 2 in your New Testament that are the most important verses in all of the Bible, Old and New Testament alike. And I think we're going to see why those are the 2 as our lesson unfolds. So if you have your Bibles, hold them up in the air. Let's see how many have brought our Bibles. Bibles, Bibles, Bibles. Good, great. How many of you have your iPhones? Raise them up. Turn them to your app, your Bible app. How many have your iPads? Raise them up. Anybody? They're a little bit more expensive. Well, I don't know. The phone's a lot more expensive, isn't it? Especially nowadays. Turn in your Bible apps, turn in your Bibles, first of all, to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and let's begin right there, seeing how blessed we are by the blood of Jesus. It's in Acts chapter 20 that the Apostle Paul has called together a group of men called elders, older ones, overseers, from the church of Ephesus. And he says this to them in Acts 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention. Some translations say, give heed to yourselves. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, bishops, to care for the church of God. There are some translations, due to variant manuscripts, that say the church of the Lord. Give attention to the church that belongs to God, the church that belongs to the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. This morning, you and I are blessed to be part of the most magnificent organization known to man. In point of fact, we turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and we look at verse 10. And it says, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is made known. Do you want to know how smart God is? The manifold wisdom, that's not part of your car. That literally means the multicolored wisdom of God, the magnificent wisdom of God. Do you want to see how smart God is? Focus on the church that belongs to Jesus Christ because He purchased it with His own blood. Take away the blood and the church does not exist as God's people. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, we're going to read of a second blessing that comes into our lives. Let's begin with a familiar verse, verse 23, and then we'll keep reading a bit. And this steps right back into where Chester was reading just a few minutes ago. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, transgression, and are justification, by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, by His blood to be received by faith. Now, I read about the blessing of justification, more on that in a minute. I read about the blessing of redemption, more on that in a minute. But in this passage, I find that funky word that we don't use in our vocabulary very much. Propitiation. How many times have you heard that word mentioned in the last month outside of a church setting? Propitiation. It's hard to say. What does it mean? Actually, the word translated propitiation can be found in, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 9, where it is translated, the root form is translated, mercy seat. Propitiation carries the idea of God extending to me mercy. In the background, you have this concept of the wrath of God finally being appeased by someone, by something, so that God can once again have us in His favor and extend to us mercy. Not because of our righteousness, not because of our goodness, but there's someone and something else that makes God's mercy flow into our lives because God is no longer mad at us. What has made propitiation possible? The blood of Jesus Christ. God looks away, as Chester tells us. He actually, in Isaiah 53, is said to have taken much pleasure in what transpired at Golgotha. Not because God is sadistic. He took pleasure in what took place at Golgotha because of what Golgotha would mean to all of mankind, to me, to you. What God saw on that occasion appeased His wrath so that He doesn't have to be mad at me anymore. And the blood of Jesus made that propitiation possible. Turn the page to a third passage, Romans chapter 5. And let's look at verse 9 of Romans 5. Since therefore we have now been justification, by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. Sodom and Gomorrah, the wrath of God. Nadab and Abihu turned to a pile of ash, the wrath of God. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in their steps, the wrath of God. We have been saved from the wrath of God by Him, Jesus. Hell is not in our future. The anger of God is nowhere to be found when He thinks of me and when He thinks of you, and that because we have been justified, which means just if I'd never sinned. When God sees me, He sees one because of His forgiveness who has never done what I did in the past. I never said what I said in the past. I never said something the wrong way as I said it in the past. I never made a bad decision as I made in the past. I can know the peace of a person without a past in the heart of God because I'm just if I'd never sinned, justified. And that not because of what I have done, what you have done. Not because of who we are, That's made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. Justification, another blessing. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at verse 7. In Him, contextually references made to Jesus. In Him, Jesus, we have, here's this operative word for the moment, redemption. Through, by His blood. What you talking about, Paul? The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. The blood of Jesus makes redemption possible. That's another one of these words that we very seldom use in our experiences of life. Now, there are some of you that will remember the Redemption Center for green stamps. Raise your hand and age yourself. Yes? Yes? And there are others among us saying, green stamps? What in the world is that all about? But you go to the grocery store, and depending on how much you bought, you got a lot of green stamps. And you had books, and my mama, boy, she would lick those green stamps, and she had to raise three boys on a preacher's salary. And she would put those green stamps in that book, and when that book was full, she'd go to the Redemption Center, and she'd lay that book or those books on the counter, and she'd get to buy stuff, get it free, because she had put down that book of green stamps, the Redemption Center. And that's the only way I have ever heard that word used in our experiences of life. Perhaps you have heard it used in other ways. What does it mean? Redemption. Redeem. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. What are you proclaiming? What are you saying when you say redeem? What does it mean? The word actually is a financial term. And it means to pay a ransom. And so I was interested to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 in the English Standard Version, whereas most translations say, we've been redeemed, the English Standard Version says, we've been ransomed. That's what the word means. So when God paid a ransom for my soul and for yours, to whom did He pay it? I know, somebody says, God paid the devil to buy me back from the devil. Then that means the devil had the upper hand on God. Are you ready for that? What does it mean, God paid a ransom? To whom? Now watch carefully. There are something called the metaphysical, beyond the physical attributes of God. He's omnipresent everywhere. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, knows everything. These are the metaphysical attributes of God. But there are also something called the moral attributes of God, and there are four of them. God is holy. Be ye holy, even as He who called you is holy. 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. God is just, yes, faithful and just to forgive. 1 John 1, verse 9. God is merciful. Be merciful even as your heavenly Father is merciful. Luke 6:36 and 1 John 4:8. God is love. So here we have the four moral attributes of God, and this is what happens with sin. When you and I sin, we offend His holiness. We read it together from Psalm 5. God hates the worker of iniquity. We offend His holiness when we sin. And His justice cries for vengeance. Vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense, says the Lord, we read in the New Testament. So I've offended His holiness, and His justice cries for vengeance. God is stark raving mad at me because of the decisions that I've made and the life that I've chosen to live. And I'm damned to hell in that wrath. God would not allow me to be left in that without an opportunity to reclaim His fellowship. So His mercy And his love chose to send a substitute to take care of his wrath and offended holiness. He sent Jesus, and on the cross, Jesus' blood was shed. And when Jesus' blood was shed, the offended holiness of God, the avenging wrath of God, was satisfied. And the mercy and the love of God, via the purchase price of Jesus' blood, bought me back from the offended holiness and avenging justice of God. I don't belong to His offended holiness anymore. I don't belong to His avenging wrath anymore. Now I belong to His mercy. Now I belong to His love. And that's the whole concept of we've been ransomed. God paid Himself to ransom me away from His wrath by His mercy and His love. And Jesus' blood is what makes that redemption possible. Isn't that beautiful? Now turn with me a page to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's read together, beginning with verse 11. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, that would have been people who were not Jews and were not members of God's family in Old Testament times. As Gentiles in the flesh, you were called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And strangers to the covenants of promise. Having no hope, without God in the world. That's the way you used to be. Paul writes to these Ephesians. But I keep reading in verse 13. But now, that's the way it used to be. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, separated, alienated, strangers, no hope without God, you who were far off have been brought near to God. That's reconciliation. Brought near to God by the blood of Christ. A husband and wife struggle. They separate. Someone asks, is there any hope of reconciliation? What does that mean? Is there any hope that they can ever get back together? Reconciliation, being brought back near to God. Made possible, not because of what we have done, not because of what we know, not because of who we are or whose we are. We have been brought back into God's favor by something Jesus did. He died on the cross and His blood was shed in our behalf. Aren't we blessed by the blood? Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and let's look at verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified, cleansed with blood. Take pause for a moment. If you go home and read Hebrews chapter 9, you will find that it falls into two major sections. The first third of the chapter, the Holy Spirit talks about the old tabernacle of Old Testament times and how in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant and the high priest with the blood of a bull and the blood of goats entered one day a year, the Day of Atonement, into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled blood on the altar and that to appease God's wrath and grant mercy. The second two-thirds of the chapter began in verse 11 where it says, but when Christ, and now we're talking about Jesus as our high priest, stepping into the very presence of God in heaven and how His blood blesses our lives. And in point of fact, you will find the word blood 12 times in this chapter, more than any other chapter in all of the Bible. That makes Hebrews 9 quite important and quite special. So I come to verse 22, and in that context, I read, under the law, almost everything is purified, cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, some translations say. What do we mean by that? We don't use that word very often. Thus, more modern translations say, without the shedding of blood, there is no aphesis. No, that's not the word you read. That's the word translated. It means set free. It means liberate. It's translated, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Today, I can stand before God, a sinner, totally forgiven of my past, and stay in a perpetual state of forgiveness until the day that I die, as long as I walk in the light, 1 John 1:7. And that because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed assurance. What's the next phrase? Jesus is mine. You know why? His blood. Turn the page now to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, what a thought, since we have confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near, that is, contextually, let's draw near to the presence of God, with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We draw near to God how? When we get on our knees, when we bow our hearts, and we pray. And so we enjoy the blessing of supplication. We actually get to talk to God. I like to think of prayer as talking to God, and supplication is a prayer that respectfully won't take no for an answer. And so we just pray it and pray it and pray it and pray it harder and harder and harder. We get to talk to God in that way today because of the blood of Jesus. Same chapter, look at Hebrews 10, verse 29. In Hebrews 10:29, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, has profaned the blood of the covenant, the blood of Jesus, by which he was sanctified, an outrage or insult to the Spirit of grace. Here I learned that the blood of Jesus is what grants me sanctification. And again, it's a word we don't use often. Sanctification. To sanctify is the verb. The cognate noun would be sanctification, or in reference to an individual, one who is sanctified, a saint. And so there's a huge religion today that when someone dies, there is a list of criteria that the individual's life has to meet. And then if they meet that criteria, they are set aside and they are turned into a saint. You find nothing like that in all of the Bible. Today, because of the blood of Jesus, any one of us can be a saint, that is, one set apart by God for his holy use. Sanctification. I belong to God. Here's the sea of humanity. And in the sea of humanity, there is a group of people. And God says, they're mine. You're an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. You who were no people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but have now obtained mercy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 tell you who that special group of people actually is. Those people that God has set apart from the rest of the world to claim as his own are those who have come to know his mercy, his forgiveness. You do what the New Testament tells you to do, to be granted the forgiveness and the heart of God, and you become one of his people. It's just that simple. And we need to quit adulterating it with all of our traditions and thoughts. So here's a people that belong to God, and it's the blood of Jesus that allows me to be set apart from the world and part of that special group of people, sanctification. Which leads us, last of all, to Revelation chapter 12. So read with me, beginning with verse 10. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God, and they have conquered him by the blood." So here's the power of God. Here's the kingdom of God. Here's the authority of Jesus Christ, all of which makes possible salvation. Only because of the medium provided, the blood of Jesus Christ. Today you and I can know heaven will be in our future. We can know that one day we will stand and bask in the very presence of God. We'll hold hands with the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. We'll bow to his feet and look up with tears in our immortal eyes, and we will say, "Thank you." Why? Thank you for the blood, because that's what grants us salvation. You see how blessed we are by the blood? All of that establishes this fact. There are two verses in the whole Bible that are the most important verses of Scripture. And they go something like this from John 19. When they came to Jesus and found that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Howbeit, one soldier with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. Remove those two verses from your Bible, and the whole book fades into the inconsequential. Because it's the blood of Jesus that blesses our lives in the sight of God. Could I ask you this morning, do you consider the blood of Jesus all that important? Let me ask you again, and like you really, really mean it, I want you to say the answer. What can wash away my sins? Nothing. What can make me whole again? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's interesting to me that when I turn through the New Testament and I see these blessings that flow from the blood of Jesus, very often I will find the same blessings attached to the act of submitting to being immersed in water. Baptized. For example, salvation. I mentioned it earlier. Revelation 12 says salvation is made possible by the blood of Jesus, but 1 Peter 3 says baptism saves us. It saves us because of the blood. The blood is the how, and the baptism is the when. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. But Acts 2 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Baptism is the how, or rather, the blood is the how, baptism is the when. So we have all of these spiritual blessings that are ours. They're awaiting you. If you've never, by faith in Jesus Christ, had a willingness to change the way you think and live, repent and be immersed in water by someone for the purpose of having your sins taken away. The blood is there for you. Will you avail yourself of all of its blessings by your willingness to submit to the act of being baptized as taught in the New Testament? That remains to be seen as we stand together and as we sing.